This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
All indicators of American religiosity are either stable or declining, but the decline is slow, and Americans remain very religious by world standards.
I don't know how much God has to do to get the attention of the politicians. We've had an earthquake, we've had a hurricane. He said, are you going to start listening to me here? Listen to the American people.
With relatively few exceptions, the mass media tend to cover these disputed issues with a combination of ignorance, laziness, and bias against traditional Christian beliefs.
Every word of law, every damning exclamation is given to you for a purpose, to damn you to death, to kill you, to crucify you, and drive you to Jesus.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
I guess for Christians, many Christians on Sunday morning, it's what they've come to expect. They expect when they get there that the pastor will be probably involved in part three or four of a seven-part series, and that when this sermon series is over, maybe this one is on having a better sex life or improving your financial situation, trusting God, being a better parent, being a better spouse. Who knows what it is? It could be any number. When this series is over, there may be a little break where the pastor talks about this and that Sunday after Sunday until he finds another sermon series, and then he goes on to that, and this is how the church year goes, in and out. There's no real rhyme or reason to it except what book the pastor's been reading lately or what sermon series is being sold by whoever sells sermon series. But I imagine that a lot of Christians, a lot of our listeners, just have come to expect this. A more or less random walk through the Bible. Of course, the pastor's always got the Bible in his hand, and he has examples of this and that and parenting and finances and a better sex life, and he can quote chapter and verse on all of these topics, essentially topical preaching. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, the 8th of September. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the church year in a different way of reading, preaching through the Bible that is not only perhaps a little more tuned to the Bible itself and its central message, but actually has a history beyond the latest sermon series being sold by, again, whoever sells sermon series. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest for the first half hour. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. A little bit later, some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. Then a conversation with Dr. Clay Jones of Biola University. Some moral reflections on 9/11, he says, it is possible that we are all moral monsters, that we are all immoral monsters, not just the terrorists, not just the bad people out there. We'll see what he thinks in the latter part of this hour. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's author of the book Ordering Our Days and Our Deeds in His Peace, an introduction to the Christian church year. And he's written an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Telling the Story of Jesus. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be with you, Todd.
I don't think I've attended your church, but I have a strong suspicion that if I went there, it wouldn't be a sermon series or the latest sermon series. Why not?
Well, because you should not trust me to make that up. You know, that is... The lectionary and the church year are there chiefly to protect the people from the whims and hobby horses of the pastor. You know, I mean, if it were up to me, I'd get up every Sunday morning and I'd find, as I so often do in Bible class, in church too, I would find a way to turn the topic to about why you should, you know, vote for Ron Paul and be for world peace and a gold standard. You know, I mean, but that's not supposed to be what church is for. Church should be about Jesus and his word. And pastors are very susceptible to pride and know-it-allism, and we've got a list of things we think we need to talk about, and that list is always short. You know, we like to get a few topics that we know really well and then just replay those over and over and over again. But the lectionary, the church year, puts our focus on Jesus, forces us to have different priorities, have the priorities of preaching the gospel, and it forces us to go into all of the scriptures to bring out every teaching of the scriptures. In fact, I've often said that preaching the lectionary will teach you actually more about the Bible than if you just got up and read through the Bible every year on Sunday morning. Because the Bible's a big book. Human brains can only digest so much at one time. And so what the lectionary does is it leads you through the important topics, the threads of thought, the ideas in the scriptures, and reinforces those year after year so that in your daily devotional reading, you begin to make more connections. You begin to draw in the parts of scripture maybe you're not as familiar with. You can begin to hang those on those high points that you know from the church's lectionary.
When you say lectionary, I think that probably needs some definition for our listeners. They may say, I kind of have an idea what you're talking about, but let's be clear. What are you talking about?
Assigned readings for every Sunday in the year. It's a list of readings. So, for example, this coming Sunday is the 12th Sunday after Trinity, after the festival of the Holy Trinity. And for this Sunday, it is assigned to read an Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 29, an epistle lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and a gospel lesson from Mark 7. And every year on Trinity 12, that's what we read. There's also a three-year lectionary that's newer in the church that came into vogue in the 1970s after the Roman Catholic Church started using it in the 1960s and 70s after Vatican II. So you have three different years kind of each focused on Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then with John kind of thrown in here and there. At our parish, we use the historic lectionary, and so for the past, well, at least since, say, St. Augustine, so for the past 1,500, 1,600 years, Christians have been reading Mark 7, verses 31 to 37, on every 12th Sunday after Trinity. And it's this list of Bible readings that really forms, if you will, it forms a matrix that you can then fit in the rest of your Bible reading to. It gives you points of reference. It gives you a basic knowledge of the scriptures to which you can relate your deeper reading of the scriptures. I should say more expansive reading of the scriptures in your daily devotional life.
How do you respond to someone who says, well, I know what you're talking about. Maybe I grew up Roman Catholic or Episcopalian, perhaps even Lutheran, and I know what it was like. It was a series of readings. There was an Old Testament reading, an epistle reading, a gospel reading for every Sunday. But I've learned better since, because that kind of thing kind of hamstrings, it kind of limits what the Holy Spirit can say on a Sunday morning. How would you respond?
I found it to be quite the opposite, and this is actually one of the reasons why I prefer the historic lectionary even to the three-year lectionary. And the reason is this. What the one-year lectionary teaches preachers is that there's always something more to find in a text, that you have not exhausted what the Holy Spirit wants to teach you from this text. The other way of doing things where, well, let's leave it up to pastor, he's going to take us through the book of Philippians, and then he'll take us through the book of Jeremiah, or he'll take us through this topic or that topic. What that teaches the preacher is that, you know, you go through Philippians, and then, well, I'm not going to do Philippians again. There's 65 other books that I've got to get to. So we've exhausted Philippians. Now it's time to move on to Colossians or James or Mark or whatever the case may be. What the lectionary teaches me is that there is always more to say about Jesus healing this deaf man, that just when I think I've got it figured out, I'm going to see something new in that text. And so the lectionary really teaches a different way of reading the Bible, a way that encourages us to get in below the surface level, that encourages us to dig deep, to read, to meditate, to spend years with these texts, and not just, well, I'm going to prep this one Bible study, and then I'm done with Mark 7.
Another response that I think we often hear is that the lectionary is limiting in that it does not give the preacher the opportunity, which is necessary, to proclaim the whole counsel of God.
Again, quite the opposite. You know, it sounds like a good idea to say, here's a Bible, preacher, now you go and preach the whole darn thing. Sounds great. But again, the problem is, I have my hobby horses. I have the topics that I'm really comfortable with. And by the very nature of things, I am going to revert to those topics again and again and again. In other words, the pastor will revert to his comfort zone if it's just, here's the Bible, now you preach it. In fact, he'll just simply get to know the text that he really likes, and the rest of his preaching will be infected by that. So even if you were to say, great, start at Genesis 1:1 and preach to the end of Revelation, he would continually bring back the text to those things he knows best simply because that task is so daunting. But what the lectionary does is it forces me to get into these, you know, 60-some gospels by the time you add in, you know, the festivals that come up quite often that replace Sundays, forces me to get into these texts that are outside my comfort zone, and yet it's a doable process. I can get into and learn from and begin to explore these 60 Gospels better than I can if somebody just throws the whole Bible at me.
All right, we're talking about the church year and a way of reading through the Bible, an ancient way of reading through the Bible in the church year, with Pastor Heath Curtis. We'll be right back.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Historic, authentic, Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the church year and reading through the Bible in the church year. In that context, the two actually do go together. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's author of the book Ordering Our Days and Our Deeds in his piece, An Introduction to the Christian Church Year. Now, you can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call and order Ordering Our Days and Our Deeds in His Peace from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Heath, one of the things I noticed about the use of the lectionary in churches, as opposed to churches that have abandoned it or never had it, is that churches that use the lectionary actually read from the Bible Sunday morning. Many who don't actually get around to opening the book and reading the text itself. They hold the Bible. They may even highlight the Bible. The pastor may flash a verse up on the screen, hither and yon, out of context. But actually reading the text in its context very seldom happens.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And that is symptomatic of American evangelical Christianity, which when they left off the liturgy, again, the difference between the liturgy and modern American evangelical styles of worship, which flow out of the camp meeting and the kind of Billy Graham crusade, you know, that's the ultimate camp meeting, is the liturgy is meant for the people of God to receive God's gifts and speak back to Him. And so the liturgy is a living, moving expression of God and His people interacting. Okay, a camp meeting is an advertising campaign, right? A camp meeting is based on, I want to get these people to convert, and so I'm giving them a speech. And so the whole thesis behind modern American evangelical worship is that I don't want to bore people with things they don't understand. It's very odd, if you think about your normal day-to-day life. We become very bored. It's very odd at our jobs, right? If the boss calls us in for a meeting and says, well, I got this memo from corporate, I want to read it to you, well, our eyes glaze over. We're not a reading, listening kind of society. We're an image, soundbite kind of society. And so American evangelical worship, they're about the image and the soundbite, and you would never stop and just listen for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes to a whole reading. But you wouldn't do that. People would be bored. Whereas in liturgical worship, where the idea is that my intended, my target audience is the people of God, I know that they want to hear from the Scriptures. And furthermore, I believe that the Scriptures themselves carry the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit works through that reading of God's Word. If you look at, again, just to pick somebody easy because he's on TV, if you look at a Joel Osteen worship service, he doesn't trust the Word of God itself to be engaging and exciting and something that people are going to latch on to. Instead, his little Bible quotes and passages are always only going to be in the midst of his talk, because his talk, his personality, his manner of speaking, that'll hold somebody's attention. But just reading the Gospel of John, oh please, you know, that could never hold somebody's attention.
Joe is listening in his car. Joe, thanks for waiting on the line.
Hi, a comment and then a question on the you know, comparing church to a camp or the camp scenario. In church, we would look at it as the divine service, God serving us, whereas in the camp setting, I think it's pretty much us trying to figure out what we're going to do for God. And my question is, how does God serve us through the church year, through the church calendar, through the writings that we have that go with the church year?
Thank you very much, Joe. Thanks for listening there. Heath?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and specifically, that's kind of the question around which I wrote the article you mentioned in the Current Lutheran Witness, and that is the church year, is God serving us? That's the church's method of telling God's story. You know, God gives us this whole big book, the Bible, and if you've ever tried and failed to read through the Bible, you know how difficult it is to kind of keep keep the thread of the story there, you know, when you're reading through the myths of Leviticus or Obadiah, you know, like, how does all this fit together? That's what the church year is doing and the lectionary. It's teaching you the story of Jesus throughout the year in a systematic fashion, so that in a comprehensible way, so that you can learn the divine story, so that God's word can serve you in an effective way that will draw you in and make you a part of the same divine story.
Let's make that very clear. The connection between this lectionary, this system of readings, whatever historic one chooses, and that church year, the two cannot be divorced from one another. They are built in and around and from one another, aren't they?
Exactly. In fact, all Christians borrow from the lectionary and the church year at least twice a year, and that's at Christmas and Easter. That's part of the church year. But if you just pick those 2 days out, I mean, you're missing, you know, 50 weeks out of the year that ties all this together. The church's year runs from Advent through to Easter and Pentecost and Ascension and Pentecost. That tells and the church year tells the story of Jesus chronologically, in order, from prophecies of his coming to his birth in Bethlehem to his baptism and his revelation to the wise men, into the 40 days of Lent, where we walk with Jesus through his days of fasting, and we learn about his suffering for us, and then Holy Week and Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Then we walk another 40 days with Jesus and his disciples until he's ascended into heaven. Then another 10 days we walk with the disciples waiting in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And then the church year pivots. It goes from telling the story of Jesus in order to hearing Jesus and watching Jesus, listening to his teaching, observing his miracles. And so you get this balance in the church's year between very direct focus on the biography, the life and times and actions of Jesus, and then listening to his miracles and his teachings.
Someone says, look, that sounds great. Maybe a church should do it for a year. But year after year after year? I mean, some members stay in a church their entire life, 70, 80 years, year after year, Pastor Curtis?
Absolutely. And you will, and again, think about what that's teaching you. You cannot exhaust a Bible text. There is always more to learn. And let's not forget, we are in the midst of a fallen world that is always seeking to attack our faith. So at the evangelical church down the road, where they're on their latest new cool study of whatever the case may be, sex seems to be the popular topic the last couple of years, while they're focusing in on 40 days of purpose for your bedroom, what are you not thinking about? You know, economists call this opportunity cost. You can only do one thing at a time. Every choice you make means you're missing another opportunity. Every time the evangelical church is talking to you about how to get your finances in order, how to have a better sex life, how to have more well-behaved children, what are you missing? What are you not talking about? You're not talking about the gospel. You're not talking about the story of Jesus. You're not talking about sin and grace. Right? The great American temptation is an eternal progression. That once I've learned something, I'm on to the next thing, and what the thing I learned last week doesn't matter anymore. I've learned that, I'm on to the next thing. The church teaches something different, that we're fallen human beings, that we're always going to make the same stupid mistakes, that we constantly need to be reminded of the truth, and those 6 days we're out of church are a problem. And we need to be reconnected every Sunday back to the things of God. We need to hear the story of Jesus again so that we do not lose sight of the cross.
With only 30 seconds, you say it's about telling a story, and the story of salvation, God saving man, has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. Does this also, this historic practice of the church, does it drive forward in history to something, to a consummation? About 30 seconds, Heath.
Absolutely. The whole point of our life on earth is to be ready for a consummation at the end of time. And what the church here does is it never lets us lose track of that story. It reminds us that we're in the middle by showing us the beginning, the middle, and the end. And so it keeps us connected. It doesn't let us lose track of our place in the story with our busy workaday lives. Instead, it keeps us focused on the divine story, reminds us that we're in the middle of it, and that's how it keeps us connected, looking forward to the last day when our Lord will wrap up this stage in history and bring us into his kingdom forever, which will be nothing but a new beginning.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's author of the book Ordering Our Days and Our Deeds in His Peace, An Introduction to the Christian Church Year. And he's written an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Telling the Story of Jesus. Pastor Curtis, thank you again.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with our listeners on our Issues Etc. listener comment line. It's a comment line that's open 24 hours for you to use in any manner you see fit. Criticism, show, suggestion, whatever it may be, 618-223-8384. We'll hear from you on the Issues Etc. comment line after this, and then we'll talk about moral reflection on 9/11 10 years later with Dr. Clay Jones.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Here's a resource for your high school or college-aged child or grandchild as they begin a new school year. It's Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. You'll find an introduction with answers to questions like, is the Bible reliable and trustworthy? Who wrote the Bible? And more. You can order Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pro-life parents address a son's condition.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
About 10 years ago, Gabe and Rebecca Lyons found out their unborn baby had Down syndrome. They were shocked, as most parents would be. But they were dismayed when their research showed that fully 9 out of 10 babies, like their son, are aborted. A young church leader, Gabe decided he and his wife had to choose how to respond to that statistic. They could join picket lines in front of abortion clinics and vote pro-life, but Gabe decided he could also be pro-life in more creative ways. Listen next time to hear how.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.